welcome millions upon millions, perhaps billions, of faithful podcast listeners. We are your hosts, Jason Kimber and Dave Simmons. We'll bring you along with us as we share life stories from our experiences living in small towns,
or in Jason's case, an unincorporated community.
That's true. Along with genius suggestions for solving world problems and a whole lot of laughs.
This is the Small Towns Podcast.
Well, hello, folks. Jason Kimber, Dave Simmons with me as always. It's time for another pod, buddy.
Let's drop this pod. Drop it, lay it. No, lay drop it, drop it. That's how it happens.
Drop it, lay it. No, lay it and then
we
drop
lay
it.
We then drop it.
Exactly. I think that's probably would fit in the category of cool things that kids say these days.
Guaranteed. By the way,
yeah,
I've been getting called bruh in my house.
Like, is that B-R-A?
H. B-R-A-H.
Bruh.
Yeah, bruh.
What does that mean? And I,
it's
I,
like bro.
Bro, but bruh?
Yeah.
Feels kind of the lazy version of bro.
It really
and
does.
Bro is a, is shortening it up from brother.
It sure is. All I know is I got a 15-year-old. He's like, nah, bruh. I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm your dad.
Yeah.
You can't call me bruh.
Bruh.
Yeah. And what in the world does that even mean? I mean, I know what it means.
I know what
but
it means.
Come on.
And we're getting a little bit lazier. Pretty soon it's just going to be, but.
I got a buddy that he's to the point where he doesn't even want to say happy birthday on your birthday.
Yeah.
This last one was just birth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he can't say happy birthday. He can't even say birthday. It's now birth. So his birthday is tomorrow. You know what I'm sending him? Just the letter B.
Just
and it's going to be lower caps.
For sure, lower.
If he's going to go just birth, I'm going just with a B. And then next year, there's probably nothing.
I tell you, it's interesting. I think we've even talked about this before on a different episode. But we're getting so lazy in this maybe texting world that we live in. I received a birthday wish, speaking of,
mm-hmm.
That was just the letters, all caps, H, B, D, the number 2, and then U. Like, happy birthday to you.
It's like the old yearbooks. Remember when you used to sign yearbooks? You're too cool with the number 2.
Yeah.
Too cool to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Don't putter too hard. Save some of the girls for the rest of us.
We're going to kill this year.
Yeah. Stay cool. Stay cute. Have a great summer.
Let's stay in touch.
Yeah.
We ought to do, we'll do a podcast about high school and maybe we can crack open some yearbooks.
Old yearbooks? We don't want to go down that because there's a lot of good stuff, but we got to do that.
We could do some. Speaking of birthdays, Dave, guess whose birthday's coming up on Saturday?
Your baby Jesus.
It is. As segues go, that has to be one of the best ones we've ever done.
Absolutely. Speaking of, I was in St. George this weekend, and I'm driving down kind of one of the main, it's like River Road.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. But there's kind of some cliffs with some houses up over top.
Beautiful.
And I glance up there, yeah. And I'll be darned if there wasn't an enormous inflatable Jesus.
Really?
On the side hill. Well, I don't know if he's inflatable. It could have been...
like one of those blow molds?
Cutouts. I don't know. But it was lit up in the night.
But you're a ways away, so it had to be big for you to see it.
It was big. At little... disheartening or disconcerting. I'm like, did I miss something? And then I started thinking a little longer. I mean, if this is for Christmas, shouldn't it be the baby Jesus?
You would think so. But I can see you all of a sudden checking your text and maybe all the rest of your friends like us saying, hey, it was great. We'll see you in heaven. Hey, it's wonderful. So good. I guess we're...
I'm like, no wonder that everything was burning around me.
Like, I thought it was just hot in St.
George. Yeah, it was
just
toasty down there. But, yeah, that was... there's a lot of inflatable stuff around the Christmas times, but I don't know that you should be using an inflatable Jesus.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. And I'll take it a step further. And obviously, I think it's very appropriate that we talk about Christmas. I mean, this is our Christmas pod.
Are we going to drop this on Christmas?
Maybe a little Christmas Eve present. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe this is the one you could open
Merry
up.
Merry Christmas from us, ladies and gentlemen.
But I don't love... I love decorating for Christmas. And no offense, this is just a personal preference. So don't be upset when I say this. I don't love the inflatable decorations really at all.
I don't care. I love looking at everybody else's decorations, but I'm not going to go put them up.
Yeah, okay. That's a good way to put it. No, I put lights on the house and... trees as soon as we get some to grow. And I like that. I'll decorate inside the house, but I've never been a big the blow up type of things.
It's
a
lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and I feel like the wind might blow them away. But if you've got like a 10-foot, 12-foot tall Jesus standing,
Should be Easter, though, right?
I would think so.
It feels like an Easter.
Unless it was like a huge manger. You know what I mean?
And it wasn't.
No.
No, okay. It was the rapture or whatever it is.
We're probably speaking of things we know nothing
about. We do know nothing about.
Now, I know that you, and as well as all of our readers know, you do not care for Halloween. Thoughts on Christmas? Are you a fan?
Love it, yeah. Oh,
yeah, that's what I wanted
Although,
to hear.
After wrapping up Christmas purchases last week, I'm kind of done with that. I mean, I don't want to be the only ornery old man that's like ornery about buying Christmas presents, but when you start to get teenagers, lot of our listeners out there are completely understanding what I'm saying right now.
I'm sure.
That is a tough thing.
Yeah.
When they're little, you know, things aren't very expensive. You probably overdo it to where you've set some sort of a precedence of what they're kind of expecting to see on Christmas morning, like visually. But as they get older, those things are more expensive.
Yeah.
And what you're going to see visually as you see Christmas morning is going to look a little different. And sorry, it's just,
well, you're making the shift. I assume you're making the shift from quantity to quality.
Exactly is what it is. But hopefully kids, especially, you know, right around that 12, 13, that's in that time where maybe they're expecting one thing and it ends up being different. I hope my older kids are like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, you know, when I was having this conversation with Heather just earlier in the week, I love Christmas as well. I love the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. I really do. But one thing that I miss, I discovered, is that one of my favorite things to do is, you know, the weekend, a couple of weekends before Christmas, we would all go in as a family to the Magic Valley Mall, Twin Falls, Idaho. It was the closest mall of any significant size to us. And we do Christmas shopping. And it was like a full day-long event. You know, sometimes we'd pair off with mom or with dad and shop for each other and things of that nature. And it was so much fun. And then you'd go and get like a nasty piece of pizza that was delicious, but it was like the size of my face.
Yes.
And maybe an Orange Julius.
Mm-hmm. I love a good Orange Julius.
So good.
And the nachos you could get at Orange Julius.
So good.
But they were kind of hot.
Well, they were, but that's why you chased them with the Julius.
Orange Julius. There you go.
But I missed that because I did my Christmas shopping this year. And I sat in front of my computer with Amazon pulled up, basically, and did most of my Christmas shopping in, you know, an hour. Felt a little, I don't want to say the word disingenuous, but it just wasn't as fun, I'll tell you that right now.
No, it's not, but sure is convenient. I mean, there's no getting around that. Being able to knock some of that stuff out that quick is pretty nice.
And maybe what we ought to do is just go to the mall, have an Orange Julius.
And sit there with your phone?
Yeah.
Order some stuff on your computer?
Do all my shopping there on the phone.
At least you're going to the mall.
Yes. I think it's just that, for me, it's kind of a little bit of a nostalgia, and it just brings back the memories of the season. But, you know, it's so interesting, Dave, as I think about growing up Christmas, and we touched on this, I'm a big believer in keeping the magic of Christmas regardless of your age.
Yeah,
I love that, and I think it can still be done. But growing up in a small town like Grouse Creek, it wasn't just a family fair, it was more like a community fair, an affair. And so, like, on Christmas Eve, we would, as a whole community, gather in the basement of the old church, and then after we got the new church, just in the cultural hall of the church, and we would have a huge party, and there would be, like, dancing with Santa. Santa, of course, would come.
Can Santa cut a rug?
Oh, boy, I tell you what, you better believe he can. I mean, he's jingling all the way around that gym. And, you know, we do, like, the Virginia Reel, and mainly just Dancing with Santa, but
I have no idea what a Virginia Reel is.
Are you kidding me?
No, should I? Should I be embarrassed?
Well, I mean, I don't think embarrassed. That's too strong of a word, but it's kind of like, it definitely fits into the square dancing of dances.
Okay.
You got two lines, girls on this side, guys on this side, bow to your partner.
Well, that's
it's square, that's dancing, square dancing. It's square dancing, but then there's something like a, yeah, it's similar, but not. Instead of a square, it's more of a long rectangle or two parallel lines.
Okay. Line dancing?
No. I'll look for some videos.
You might have to Google that.
We'll Google that up for you. And then there would always be a program where there'd be some of the local talent.
You know? Were you ever the local talent?
Oh, I had a few numbers.
Oh, yeah?
I had a few numbers.
What'd you do?
I would either sometimes, you would do everything from recite a poem. One time I sang a song from the Forgotten Carols, The Innkeeper. Oh, just, I mean, I think about it.
Did you bring tears to people's eyes?
I like to think
that's
I did.
That's always the goal.
Tears to their eyes as they were putting cotton balls in their ears. But it was such a different experience. And then, I mean, as a young kid, of course, we'd all then break into, like, the community would all sing Christmas carols. And you knew it, one of those songs, Santa himself was going to burst through yes. one of the doors. Didn't know which one.
You're just kind of, you got your head on a swivel.
Yeah, head on a swivel. Because as a little kid, he scared me.
Oh, yeah. You know? I have masculophobia.
Yeah, you do.
You don't have to tell me that. Somebody walks in like dressed, well, it was Santa that walked in.
Yeah. No surprise there.
No, but still, it was a little uncomfortable.
A little scary. And then he'd come in, you know, he'd sit on his lap, he'd give us a sack of candy, and then he'd beeline for the door. And of course, as a young kid, and me and my buddies, we're like, we're going to chase, we're going to find him, we're going to see his reindeer, we're going to see Rudolph, we're going to see him take off on the sleigh.
Turns out he just hopped into his Ford F-150.
Well, we never got that far because all the grown-ups would like bar in the doors, you know.
Oh, that was smart.
Yeah, it was very smart. But I remember getting married to Heather, and we're talking about our first Christmas together, and she's like, yeah, you know, maybe we could just go up to my parents' house, and my dad usually reads the Christmas story, and we have dinner. I'm like, that's it.
Snorefest.
Bore.
Sounds, nowadays, that sounds wonderful.
100%, and I am fully on board on that, because I think Grouse Creek still does a party of some sorts. I don't know if they do it on Christmas Eve anymore. I'm going to have to need some of our listeners to chime in on that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because now I'm all for this kind of the quiet, the family time, and I love it, and it's fantastic. But I long for and miss those days, and I think it's because of the people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely, that could be Santa right now, flying in a F-150. Or wait, no.
He's got a Cessna out there.
Get a Cessna. You said no, anyways. But what about you? I mean, do you think of Christmas Eve, Christmas morning?
We used to always go down to my cousin's house in Salt Lake. And I remember when we were little, my parents had a Toyota Corolla, mm-hmm. which was a little hatchback. And we must have been little, because they just dropped down those back seats and make beds for us.
That's back when
there were three of us.
Yeah, and seatbelts were more of a option.
Yeah, they weren't frowned upon, but we didn't really think about them as being that important. But the hatchback had a window out the back, and so we would be laying back there and looking up, looking for Santa.
I love that.
I swear I saw him a couple of times.
I'm sure you did.
I'm pretty sure I did. But I couldn't get confirmation, but I was pretty sure I did. But those nights were awesome. People in our community might have known my grandpa Stratford loosely. A lot of people do. But he was a music teacher for his career. He taught music at Skyview, vocal.
Oh, okay.
He was the front porch majority. Have you heard of the front porch majority?
I haven't.
Some of our people will be listening out there going, I was part of the front porch
really?
Majority. Yeah, that was the choir at Skyview.
Okay, all right.
And Grandpa directed that for many, many years. He was also he did all the musicals up there.
Okay.
So, pretty prominent man in the Smithfield community.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful singing voice. I mean, powerful.
Yes.
And so, for our Christmas Eves, we would always have a little nativity. All the kids would dress up as either a shepherd or a wise man, and there were definitely more than three wise men, you know. And there was one of the uncles always had to be the donkey. In fact, that's even going on now. Now that Grandpa and Grandma have passed, and we're down to my family, my mom and dad, and their kids and grandkids. I've been the donkey before myself.
I was going to say, what role do you?
Absolutely been the donkey.
This year, once again, Dave will be reprising his role as the donkey of Christmas.
Back by popular demand, but. After the nativity, there would always be a talent show of sorts. Well, similar to what you guys were doing. So, and I came from a very musical. I come from a very musical family.
And you do have a beautiful singing voice.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
Yeah,
very
you
kind
do.
Of you. So everybody would either play the piano or sing, or and then at the end, and that would go probably longer than the in-laws wanted it to go. But at the end, everybody would ask Grandpa to sing for us. And every year it seemed like he's like, no, no. And then we'd beg a little more. And then he would happen to have his music. And he would sing The Holy City for us.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And
that's beautiful.
I'm telling you, he was unbelievable. And I think that for me and all my cousins that are, if they're listening to this, I guarantee there's a warm spot in all of our hearts for those Christmas Eve nights where Grandpa would sing to us.
I love that.
It was so awesome. And then another thing that I'll always remember is anybody who had learned a separate language, and in my family it was traditionally because they had served a LDS mission, but, well, you didn't even have to learn a language, But whoever knew a different language would sing the first verse of Silent Night in that language.
Oh, beautiful.
It was awesome. I mean, we had, oh boy, German and Finnish and Spanish and there was even more than that. But so when I got called to serve a mission in Bulgaria, the first thing I wanted to learn was how to sing Silent Night. I still remember it in at least the first verse in that, just in case we ever have to do it again. But that's one of those things for me that was, I'll never forget.
Do you still do this? I mean, you do some of those things with the nativity and
whatnot. We do the nativity. There's a little bit. There's not as many grandkids as in my immediate family as the loosely side has.
Sure.
But there's a little bit of a talent portion, but not much.
Okay.
It's mostly just the nativity, and then grandma or grandpa will say some words, and
that's fun.
It's always very nice. Yeah. And that's on Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas Day we kind of just visit around with Susie's side, and that's kind of what we do.
I love that. Do you? Is there anything harder in this world than as a child falling asleep on Christmas Eve?
Oh no, that was impossible. The worst. And I am a sleeper.
You are.
And even I, as a kid, was ready to wake up in the morning.
Oh yeah.
And you have to get mom and dad up. And
yes.
Why did you not put your slippers by your bed? Why do I have to go looking for these for you?
Yeah, because we had a rule. You couldn't just burst out of the room. You had to wait and gather. For us, it was gather kind of by our wood stove, back by our bedrooms. But I remember one year, I don't know how old I was, but I was young. And all of a sudden, my brother Wade and I shared a room, and then my sister Lisa had her own room. And Lisa came busting into our room. She's like, "Wait, Jason, wake up. It's Christmas. It's Christmas." And I was ready to go.
Yeah.
I was ready to go. We bound out of bed, all three of us, run to my parents' room, jumping on the bed. "Mom and Dad, it's Christmas. It's Christmas." My dad was like, "Huh?" And he rolled over and he looked at his alarm clock and he's like, "It's 2 a.m. Get to bed." And we're like, "What?" And Lisa had set her alarm clock.
For 2?
No, she thought, I mean, I don't mean to judge her now, but I still hold this against her a little bit. There's a little bit of anger that sleeps, like, speaks to my heart.
Yeah.
She thought it was 6 because that was, I think they actually would allow us to get up at 5. Somehow, I mean, the 5's a long way away from the 2. She had set her Care Bear, I believe it was a Care Bear alarm clock. Well, she thought it was 5 and it was 2, and my parents were not having it. They're like, "Get to bed." Well, I had to fall asleep twice that Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's brutal.
Oh, it was painful.
I blame the Care Bear, actually.
I do too.
Probably Grumpy Bear. had the little cloud with the raindrops on the front of it, like
2 o'clock, Joker's loser.
On you. Did you have to pass the Christmas tree and whatever Santa had left to get to mom and dad's room?
No.
So we did.
Oh,
and
you
we,
did?
But we would like, I'm just shading my eye right
yes.
here. Just, we didn't want to see it.
Okay.
We didn't want to see it until everybody was going to be able to see it. So that was always tricky going up there.
Well, our bedrooms were double wide. Of course, the 3 bedrooms were in the back.
Okay.
Mom and Dad's at the very end, and Wade and I's, and then Lisa's. And so we would all kind of gather again in the hallway by the stove, and we could look to the very end of the other end of the trailer, the north end of the trailer, and it was dark, but you could see
the glow.
Yeah. And you're just like,
ah. Yeah, because Santa will leave the lights on of the tree, and it's...
And you knew something magical was happening there, and you just... Patience was something that I struggled with, as I think all kids do.
My kids have to, maybe they're just looking, I don't know, but they would have to go past it to come up to our room. Because I'm not going to just wake up.
No, that's right.
Nowadays, they're coming to wake me up.
They're coming to get
I'm
you.
I'm the dad now. I'm like, okay, I'll figure it out. Let me brush my teeth. You know, you really drag it out.
Wait, did your parents make you like eat breakfast or something before? Okay, good.
No.
Because those parents are mean.
They're mean.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those parents, you need to check yourself.
Exactly. Check yourself and maybe open up a present or two.
Right.
You know what I mean?
All the kids listening to this right now are like, you tell them.
Did you ever open anything on Christmas Eve?
No.
We didn't either, but no. I know some do.
I mean, the only things, if it was like grandpa or grandma gave us some pajamas.
Same. We would do that.
And to this day, we do, like I said, Christmas Eve with my mom and dad, and we are opening presents there.
Okay, and that's fun. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, but no, as my own little family growing up, we never would open something on Christmas Eve. But I know a lot of people would pick one, you know, or do something like that.
I mean, that wouldn't work for me, because by that time I had I had hefted and shook every present under the tree. So, like, I'm going to for sure pick the heaviest one. And, you know, but
it's a bowling ball.
Yeah.
And you know what? My kids have kind of started a little tradition of their own over the last, well, it's probably been longer than I realize, but they'll sneak something from each other, like steal it, basically, and wrap it.
Okay.
And
okay.
So, you know, you're, hey, where's my, I don't know, whatever, you know,
yeah.
Where's my whatever? And then they can't find it and they think they lost it. And then yeah. They open it on Christmas morning. They're like, been looking for that thing.
Really? Now, did you put them up to that?
No.
They just, that's well, I
think
impressive.
I think it's because they're cheap. Little freeloaders.
All of a sudden, yeah, you're like, hey, Strat, did you get something from Maya? Sure did.
No, I did.
Got herself her own hairbrush.
Yeah, and then she wraps up her hairbrush. But those have actually kind of become kind of fun for the kids. It's not, I mean, they're not white elephants, but it's similar.
Yeah.
You know, that's mine. Yeah, I know. Or what would be funnier is if you wrap up something that, say, Griff's and give it to Strat.
Yeah, see, I went to a white elephant party one year, and it was a work party. And I remember opening up it wasn't me, but I think Nick was opening up a present. And as he was opening up all these presents, he's reaching into this box and pulling out things. I'm like, wait. That's mine. They just fleeced my office the night before.
And gave it to Nick?
Gave it to Nick.
That's hilarious.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I think I might do that.
We got a white elephant coming up.
We really do. If you see anything gone from your home right now, just don't look at me.
Exactly. There's so many, you know, obviously Christmas is a time of traditions, but we would always, one of my favorite ones is we'd always go up and cut our Christmas tree. Typically the weekend, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, mm-hmm. like Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving. And this year, now, buddy, you had the opportunity.
I know I did.
You had the opportunity.
It just doesn't appeal.
It doesn't appeal, but our family and Jenny and Cray and Teresa, we drove up to Idaho, and much like Clark W. Griswold himself, I dug that tree out of the ground.
Jason, Kennedy can't feel the lower half of her body.
She'll see it later, Clark. Her eyelids are frozen. But I'm a little bit like Clark W. is like, I march up and down that hill looking for the perfect tree. Love that. But are you, I know the answer, but I'm going to make you say it, fake or real.
I don't mind a good fake.
Yeah.
We have two fakes, actually, in our house.
You do?
Yes. One upstairs, one downstairs.
Well, there is, I'm not going to judge you as I want to, but I won't.
You, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Fair. But I don't really know why I'm so sold on, like, these real trees, because happened again this year. I always get a tree that's, much like Clark, it's not going in our front yard.
We're
going
to put a tree that large, Kimber.
Not going in our front yard, Russ. It's going in our living room. I had like a 15-footer this year. Put it up. 2 weeks later, like a ghost of Christmas past, that sucker tipped over, busted every ornament. So now I wired it to the wall. But it actually tipped over a couple years ago.
When you're having to wire your Christmas tree to the wall,
it means it's a spectacular tree.
It's real, yeah. And it's spectacular. I like the fakes.
Buddy, well, listen, to each their own.
I guess so.
To each their own.
Yep.
I cut a tree several years ago. It was on private ground, so because I think this is frowned upon when you're on Forest Service ground. I basically topped it, so I cut like the top 15 feet off of like a 30-foot tree. But when you do that, like, it's huge. Like, this tree was so big.
Yeah.
The stump was like enormous. Put it in the house, put it in the stand. This is several years ago.
How'd you climb up 15 feet to lop the top off?
Well, it was actually on a hillside and there's a lot of snow, so it worked out really well.
Oh.
Yeah. So it worked out well. And I actually...
Seems like it was meant to be.
It meant to be. And I actually drug most of that tree off the hill. So maybe I didn't really top it too much, because it took my brother and I all that we had to get that tree loaded. Then we got down to the house and we had to use my dad's crane on his work truck. I felt kind of like as a Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
Lifting that thing over to put it into my truck to drive back home here to Logan. Out of Millville, and...
Was that down at the other house before you moved?
It was down the other house. So it was only a 12-foot.
How would that fit?
It was huge. It was like
Clark. It was Clark. It was taking the whole living room.
I put it up, let it warm up, let it relax before we decorate it, went up to Heather's parents for Sunday dinner, came home. Funny thing happened here is that it actually... It had fallen down while we were gone, and... We came home and I had actually Heather pocket dialed her friend Jen, And so all of a sudden we walk in, and then Jen calls like 10 minutes later, and she's like, so your tree tipped over, huh? I'm like, how did you know that? I'd pocket dialed, or Heather pocket dialed her, and then I started to swear. I felt bad about it. Not big swears, but like, what the heck, this dang tree fall down? And then, of course, it got hot in our house, and we had carpet in that room, and like pine sap just dripped the full length of that 12-foot tree all into the carpet.
I bet the place smelled wonderful for years. It smelled
beautiful, but hashtag sorry, James and Whitney Ferry. There's probably some sticky spots.
Wow, they could get that taken care of, no problem.
I mean, just fine. You just put a little elbow grease on it. But I love cutting the tree. I do.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of work to me.
It's
the same principle as I don't care to go hunt my animals to eat. I'll just go down to Macy's and grab some. You know? It's just, you gotta, after you cut it down, that starts the work.
You're not wrong.
Actually, before that, it's a lot of work before that, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm just going to stick with the fakers.
Well, you know, there may be a time when I won't say it. I do have fake trees in my house now because I have those cool, like, 1960s
metal trees. Yeah.
Aluminum trees.
They're pretty cool.
They're cool. I mean, right out of eBay. They're original.
Well,
I like to think of them as an investment.
Well, they're probably not. I hate to break that to you.
I have three of them.
You may have a metal tree problem.
Yeah, there goes the kids' college fund.
Dang those aluminum trees.
I have all these different thoughts
in
my head. Like, we would always do out to Grouse Creek, we would do a school play.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that we actually just posted a picture on Instagram of my entire school.
And by the way, folks, that's one of my favorite pictures of Jason. And when you're looking at the picture, I want you to first notice, for most of us, that's a class size.
And maybe even a smaller class.
Yeah, that is his entire school.
Whole school.
And then when they have a little circle going around when Jason had a bit of an accident. So what grade were you?
I was in first grade.
But my favorite part about that picture is you got your hand, you're not trying to cover it.
Proud.
Hands in your pockets.
Owning it.
Facing forward. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Peed him. So?
What you going to do about it?
What you going to do about it? Peed
photographer,
him.
Put me in the front, why don't you?
Front row. Yeah, what's the photographer thinking? Hey, let's put the kid with the pee in his pants right up front.
Hey, could you put your hands in your pockets and kind of puff out your chest?
Yeah, that's, you know what? In hindsight, maybe it wasn't you. Maybe you were embarrassed. And the guy's like, this is going to be great.
Yeah, we'll make him feel better. Like in 30 years or 40 years when he does a podcast, it'll be famous. But take that picture, and that whole school, we would do a Christmas play every year. And so a couple years past that, I was in the fourth grade. One of my favorite ones, it was called A Christmas Wish.
Yeah.
Tender. It was kind of like a orphanage going to get foreclosed on. And I think it was the Wentworths came. And then I sang this beautiful solo. It wasn't quite that classy. This is the first stanza. If wishes could grow upon trees, if someone would answer my pleas, I'd wish for a mom and a pop of my own, a brother and sister to tease. Jason,
first of all, great memory.
Thank you.
And just in case you need to reprise that role, you're good to go.
Yeah, anytime I'm ready to go. My Aunt Sharon happened to be there, which I appreciated the family support. Back in the day, she had a silent film camera, and that would like shoot a beam of light.
You're blinded on stage.
Almost like probably the same light that the North Star would get. They'll give those wise men on that first Christmas night. And so I'm singing and I'm just squinting. And we knew that she was going to be doing it. So we're prepared. You know, when you're on the stage, you got to be prepared for whatever happens.
Yeah, you really do.
We finish up the production, sold out performance. I mean, we had the folding chairs in the gym clear to the back.
Yeah.
We get back there. She's like, oh, I forgot to put any film in the camera.
Oh, Aunt Sharon.
So it's lost. I may need to reprise it. And I'm going to have to bring back Wade and Lisa and like Ryan and Marty and some of those guys. Ryan and Marty, I believe, were Mr. and Mrs. Wentworth. So
hopefully they remember their parts.
I bet Ryan
does. Would think they would.
I would think so, too.
I don't know how you wouldn't.
But we crushed it. I was fourth grade.
I'd like to hear that song.
I'll see what I can do. But I've actually got the playbill actually in
my office. Playbill and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Not just a little program. It's a whole playbill. That's so funny.
I love it.
I don't remember doing any. I'm sure that we probably did in elementary school do some plays or something. But we sang a lot at Providence Elementary. There was a lot of singing going on.
You're singing about like what you had that beautiful rendition a few episodes back. In fact, it was the same episode as the Pee Pants episode.
Was it?
You talked about the Challenger song that you sang.
Yeah, so we did do some things like that, but apparently it took a national tragedy to make us do a a play, but we were always singing something.
I love
Providence
that.
Elementary.
We actually went to our girls. They had Millville Elementary did a little program.
Yeah, I was out of town last week, but Ollie was there.
Yes, it was so good.
Doing some sort of leading of the program.
And yes, they had. Listen, they had these song leaders, I guess you will, with the ribbons, and they were just.
Ollie had some energy with that, from what I understand. Actually, Susie sent me the video. I'm like, well, the boy's got some personality, that's for sure.
And all I got to say is the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. one last thing, and then whatever. I mean, we can go a little bit long on this one, buddy, but I can't help but think of Christmas. My Aunt Sharon, again, the Steven Spielberg of our time.
As long as she remembered to put the film in there.
Yes, she would always. She's an amazing chocolatier, like a chocolate maker.
Yeah.
And so she'd always dip chocolates every year. So good. I love them. One year she told her younger brother, my Uncle Eldon, she says, he was biting into one. And she's like, this year I'm shaking things up a little bit. I found I could get a much creamier consistency if I used goat's milk.
Oh my goodness.
She didn't. But Eldon, he spit it out and he wouldn't even eat a chocolate that whole
really?
Year.
You know, the Bulgarians put alcohol in their chocolates.
Okay, tell me more.
Some spirits.
Yeah.
Just sauce them up a little bit. You got to be careful. They're like, here, have a chocolate. You're like, what do you got in that thing? Or you don't ask, and it's just a happy accident. I don't know.
Yeah, it's heavy. Real quick, top three Christmas movies.
Christmas Vacation, Four Christmases.
Yes.
That's so funny.
It's one of... that's for sure. Those are my top two, so you're doing well so far.
I know a lot of people would go Christmas Story. You know, I was talking to somebody the other night, and they were... Well, he's in the... He with a young single adult ward.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of our listeners, maybe they don't understand that, but he's over with a lot of these younger kids, and we're talking what, Jason? 18 to 22-ish?
25, yeah, somewhere right in there.
Maybe even a little more than that, but... They were asked the same question.
Okay.
And number one was Elf.
I mean, it's good, but come on.
But Christmas Vacation and The Christmas Story weren't even on the list. We're talking generational problems, right?
We're talking a lot of problems, and I can't get on board with that.
No, I got a lot of problems with
like
you people.
If your kids are in that group, you failed, parents.
I think I failed, because my son, my 18-year-old has not seen Christmas Vacation.
Are you kidding
no,
me?
No, I know. But first thing I thought is, well, maybe I am a good parent. And then I thought,
I don't know.
No, and about that, I don't know, Margo. That's one that the kids really need to see. But Elf is good.
It is
good.
I love it. Don't get me wrong.
I almost might put it in there as a top three.
You would?
Christmas, and I'm in no particular order, Christmas Vacation, Four Christmases, and probably Elf. But Christmas Story is such a classic that it has to be in there, right?
Well, I'll give you, we'll at least give you top five.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen, you may be failing as a parent in that regard, but that's the only spot.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate that.
My sister-in-law, she texted Sid. She texted our family thread the other day, and she's like, I'm just going to read it. She says, tonight, as I was putting her son down to bed, he sat up and said, Mom, and he's like three, and he said, Mom, why does he say, are you serious, Clark? While gesturing with his arms. See, Sid is doing something right.
She is definitely doing something right. If a three-year-old is saying,
just quoting it.
That's such a good movie.
I'm excited for Christmas. It's here in a few days.
I got one final story.
Please wrap
and
us
I
home.
Had to, I had to get special authorization for this.
Oh, these are always the best kind.
Yeah, because this my sweet, beautiful wife.
Okay.
I think I've told you this.
Maybe.
So, it's around the holidays, okay? And we're deep in slumber. This is the middle of the night.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I arose with such a clatter.
The clatter that you ran to the window to see what was the matter.
I was awakened.
Yes.
By the biggest flatulence. I mean, who... I was woken up by
it wasn't
that.
You. I just
no,
to
it was not me. And in her sleep, she says, that's right. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh,
I mean, it was just like, here's what you're getting for Christmas. Yeah. So she bombs this thing, wakes me up. I'm startled. I'm like, what? And then she says, that's right. Merry Christmas, everyone. She has no recollection of this.
She doesn't.
No, she claims to this day that it couldn't have happened. How do I make that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I was going to say.
How do I make that up?
Yeah.
I mean, she is the sweetest, most beautiful person in the world, but that happened, dang it.
I can't help but think you went back to bed contemplating the beautiful reason for the season, and you're like, makes me wonder what she's getting me for Christmas.
That was so funny. And she says it doesn't happen, but in a way I think she hopes it did happen.
Yeah.
Because that is awesome.
That's
to wake your partner up by noise alone and then say in your sleep, that's right. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thanks again, folks, for listening to another episode of the Small Towns Podcast.
We're pretty sure we've changed your life for the better.
If not, well, we'll try again next time.